Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks go to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Well, good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you have tuned in today to today's program. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I've been pastoring there for 27 years. One of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. I want to thank a kind, anonymous donor for sponsoring today's program. We appreciate people like you who work behind the scenes to help share God's Word. I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time. I know that others of you think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. I know that others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that you will find this program interesting and informative and even helpful. I believe for those who desire it, that God can use a program like this to take you another step closer to Him. This morning, I want to talk to you about how the Word of God is alive and active. Now, that comes out of the Bible in a book called Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, when we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about the Bible. We use the Word of God, Scripture, the Bible as interchangeable terms. Now, the Word of God is alive and active. By the time we get to the end of this program, I'm hoping that you'll be able to say the Word of God is alive and active in me. Now, I have an overarching question that I want you to ask yourself today. The question is, what is my relationship to the Word of God? What is my relationship to the Bible? The truthful answer to that question will reveal a lot about you, about where you are spiritually and where you're headed spiritually. I know that some of you have never read the Bible and don't really have a relationship with it at all. Some of you have studied it and as a textbook. Others of you know it well and you love it deeply. I want to tell you a little of my story in regards to journeying with the Word of God. The reason I tell you this is because some of you will be able to see yourself in my story. Others of you will hopefully be able to avoid some of the mistakes that I've made. You know, from my earliest remembering, I grew up hearing Bible stories. My mom and dad had a big book that went from Genesis to Revelation, and they told the stories of the Bible. Each day, my parents would read one of the stories to my sister and me, and at the end of the story, it would ask the question, well, were you listening? And we went through that book a number of times. In my earliest days, the Bible was a great storybook. I think that it is a wonderful place to begin. It was certainly good for me as a kid. As I grew a little older, the Bible became about virtue. It told me about what was right and wrong. I came to know the Ten Commandments. But more than that, if you look through the New Testament, you'll see all kinds of commands. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Jesus has forgiven you. The Bible became a book of virtue for me. And in it, we learn what is right and wrong. In it, we learn what God thinks is good and what isn't good. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's very good. The idea of inherent human rights out of a transcendent view of what is valuable and therefore what is good. Virtue is a good thing, and it's a good thing to remember. But I didn't stay there. I started to use the Word of God to prove what I thought was good and what was in fact good. And what I thought was bad was in fact bad. The Bible became a fact book by which I could win an argument. Maybe this is a phase that we all have to go through in our faith. You can usually tell a spiritual adolescent because they want to go out and fight all the cults. They want to stomp out heresy. I got to know the Bible very well. I could show you where everybody else was wrong and I was right. And when I went to Bible college and they tested the incoming class, I knew more Bible than almost anyone. But here's the thing about knowledge, even Bible knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Knowledge puffs up, while love builds up." When being right is more important than loving someone, you know that something has gone wrong in you. If you can't speak the truth in love, you really should be asking yourself if you should be speaking the truth at all. And along with this, I started to take an interest in the question, is the Bible reliable? And it was a burning question for me for a while. I knew the arguments against the Bible, but were there good arguments for the Bible? I read a popular apologetic books of the time, like Josh McDowell, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I investigated the Bible, and I found to my satisfaction that it is indeed reliable. You know, there are some personality types who are the black and white, right and wrong, and they use the Bible that way. There are some personality types who need to go through this phase of is the Bible really true? And there are some other people who say, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But there's others of us who are more skeptical, and we need to wrestle with the issues of reliability and authenticity. And while you wrestle through some of those issues, it's a big, hairy deal. I remember wrestling through an issue over the Bible's trustworthiness, and for the life of me right now, I can't remember what the issue was, but I remember losing sleep over it. I remember wrestling with the issues and it being resolved. Things like that become foundations on which we build. We may not even remember all the blocks that we put in the foundation, but those are the things that are important to us at the time. If you're in a place where you're wondering about the trustworthiness of Scripture, there are all kinds of great resources to address that question. It is a phase that many of us have to go through. Well, I went to seminary, which, by the way, wasn't the most friendly place on my spiritual life. The Bible became something between a theological and philosophical textbook to be understood and argued with, a book of literature where we're supposed to do literary critique, and a book in another language where we learn to parse words. I'm thankful for all those things. They taught me how to think. It was very helpful to think theologically about life. But in spite of being around the Word of God all the time, my spiritual life was dry. See, you'll notice up until this point in my journey and my relationship with the Word of God that the Word of God was basically about information. Oh, I believed all the right things about the Bible. It is God's Word. It's inspired by God. It's authoritative for faith and practice. I read God's Word faithfully. I knew it, but what I have described so far doesn't sound a whole lot like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I was getting around the edges of this verse, but I wasn't living out this verse. I was getting to a place where, what is the Word of God? Well, I graduated and became the solo pastor of Bruce Mines Wesleyan Church at the age of 22. I look back and think, what was I thinking? But anyways, they were gracious to me. Bruce Mine had a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening service, and I had to preach two sermons a week. And those poor people, they had to put up with sermons that sounded more like a Bible commentary. It wasn't long till I could see that those kind of sermons weren't connecting with people. So I started to preach a different kind of sermon. I started to preach the principles of the Word of God. Here are principles to live by. And there are certain ways which God has ordained us to live. And if you follow these ways, our life will be better. If you don't follow these ways, our life will be worse. God's Word became a handbook for living. And I still believe in following the principles laid out in the Word of God. God designed life to be lived a certain way. And if you go against that way, life becomes much harder. The book of Proverbs is full of principles for living, but the problem with principles is that some of us are inclined to treat them like, scientific formulas. You know, if you plug in A plus B, it will always equal C. So a principle in the book of Proverbs says is a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a principle. Generally speaking, if you give a soft answer, it has a way of diffusing anger. That's a principle, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes you give a soft answer and, well, things blow up. The Bible is full of principles. Principles like honoring your parents and it'll go well with you. That wisdom is found in many counselors. Given, it will be given to you. And people get to thinking, well, if I do the right things, then life will go right. Well, I found over the years that A plus B does not always equal C. Just because you do all the right things does not mean that life will go right. It is still good to do what God says. It will save you from a lot of trouble. But life is not a formula. Plug it in, all the right things, and you'll predictably get all the right things in life. About this time, God and His providence brought some people into my life who were teaching about spiritual warfare. And I was also at a place where I was going through some incredibly tough times and some spiritual warfare. Now, if you're not familiar with spiritual warfare, Satan's strategy is to make us think that he does not exist. And if that doesn't work, then he makes us think that there's a demon lurking behind every rock. The reality is that there is a spiritual battle. And if you're going to win the spiritual battle, you need the power to defeat the enemy. And that power is found in the Word of God and in the cross of Jesus Christ. God has to become more than just a premise to be believed in, or a philosophical construct, or a principle if you're going to battle and win the battle. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God. It talks about taking up the shield of faith so you can extinguish the fiery arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith is built on the fact that God is who he says he is, and God will do what he says he will do, and I am who God says I am. Well, who God says he is comes out of the Word of God, the Bible. What God says he will do comes out of the Word of God. And who God says I am comes out of the Word of God. If you take God at his word, you have a shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. When Paul describes the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's all the armor of God. It's the only offensive weapon. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted back to Satan's scriptures. He parried temptation with scriptures. When you use Scripture this way and when you start to see the power of Scripture, you start to understand that the Word of God is alive and active. Well, as an aside, when Satan was tempting Jesus, once he used Scripture, does it not say that if you throw yourself off a high rock that the angel will catch you? Well, Satan used and distorted Scripture, but Jesus answered the devil with Scripture. In spiritual warfare, Satan comes through the power of the lie. If you put faith in his lies, it gives him power in your life. He is the great accuser of the children of God, and your only hope to combat the lie is the truth of God. He will attack your identity. You know, you're not a child of God, or you're not righteous, you're not forgiven. God can't really love you. God can't really tolerate you. And those are all lies. But if you're going to combat them, you need to know the truth of what God has said about you. And the truth is found in the Word of God. He's going to attack who God is. That's what he did back at in the garden. You know, did God really say this? Does he really mean this? You know, he doesn't have your best interests in mind. So if you're going to stand up to spiritual warfare, well, then you're going to need to know the truth about what God says about himself and what God says about you. It was in spiritual warfare that the Word of God for me started to become more alive. It started to move into the spiritual realm. It wasn't long after that I was introduced to a couple of people who use Scripture in biblical counseling. Now, I know that term can mean almost anything. There are some people who do biblical counseling that is neither good counseling nor good use of the Bible. But the people I was exposed to had a solid grasp of Scripture, and they showed how Scripture uncovered what was going on in our hearts. They showed how Scripture uncovered the pattern of sin in our heart and gave us channels for healing. Since I learned to see the Word of God as speaking primarily to the heart, the idea of repentance has become a positive thing. See, it is the channel through which Jesus Christ heals. the idea of reading the Word of God at a heart level has become more and more of something that God has used in my life to bring healing and wholeness. It has influenced my preaching in profound ways. You know, I used to preach in a way that people would know something. And now I try to preach in a way that aims at transformation of our hearts. When I'm speaking, I try to preach in ways that aim at the heart without violating the mind. So I tend to stay away from cliches. And if I'm going to try to speak in a way that I am going to speak in a way that's intellectually coherent, but my hope is not to create biblical scholars, although that wouldn't be a bad thing. But my hope is to see us experience and live out and invite people into an experience of God's transforming love. My hope is that God, through His Word and His Spirit, would transform us at a heart level. Well, that's my long story of my relationship with the Word of God. Some of you may have been able to see yourself in parts of my story. Now, I'm going to take you back to our verse today, but before we do that, let us listen to some music. I'm going to listen to one of the great old hymns of the church, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." For those of you who don't know, Jehovah is one of the Old Testament names for God. "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Let me take you again to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It's not exactly a comfy metaphor, is it? Why couldn't it be like the word of God is like a soft puppy? No, it's the word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword. The word for sword is a short sword. It's a dagger. It's a very precise instrument. What the word of God does is expose us. It actively and accurately exposes our heart. It exposes the difference between our soul and our spirit and our body. And I want to camp out on that for a few minutes. Let me give you some rough definitions. Our soul is made up of our mind and our will and our emotions. Our soul is where we think and where we feel and where we decide. Our spirit, when we become Christians, is made alive. In other words, it's connected to God. God, by His Spirit, comes into our spirit. Here's what Romans says, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption as sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, there's a lot in those verses, but let me just say something. That part of what happens in our spirit is that we are led by God and we're loved by God, and we show that love to God in return. When I say we're led by God, there's something deep down inside of us when you receive Jesus into your heart that says, yeah, this is the right way to go, or this is the wrong way to go. There's some of us who are better at hearing those checks in our spirit. Others are better at hearing that we're loved by God. But a couple of the primary rules of your spirit is that to let you know that you are led by God and loved by God. Now, back to the Word of God. It's living. It's active. It's divided between soul and spirit. And there are times when our mind and our emotions will tell us one thing, but we sense something deep down inside telling us another thing. The Word of God is sharp enough even to expose those things. It discerns those things. So the Word of God exposes the difference between our mind and our will, our emotions, and how we're led and how we're loved by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So remember, we started off the sermon asking, well, what is your relationship to the Word of God? I told you about my evolving relationship. It went from being a storybook to a book about virtue, what's good and bad, to a book that, you know, I had to prove that I was right, and I regret that stage, to a theological textbook, to a book of principles and how to live, then a spiritually powerful book in spiritual warfare, to a book that will expose my heart. In some of those phases, my relationship with Scripture was, I was the authority over it. I was the one who judged whether it was reliable or not. But I have come to a place where I am not its judge. It is my judge. It exposes who I am. And that's really an important place to come to if you're going to know that the Word of God is alive and active in me. Because if you are over the Word of God, if you are its judge, then it doesn't have the proper authority to expose who you are. But if you allow it to judge you, it becomes a mirror. It becomes a way that you can see yourself clearly. Now, if you think that you can see yourself without a mirror and you kind of look down and you're trying to see, well, what do I look like? Well, you're only going to see partial truth, but the Word of God has a way of reflecting back the whole truth about yourself. The Word of God is alive and active. Will you let it be active in you, or will you deflect what it has to show you about yourself? The Word of God talks about how it's a mirror, but if you don't do anything about it, you look in a mirror, you see your hair is mussed, and you just say, well, you know, I'm not going to believe it. I'm just going to walk away. Well, that doesn't do any good. But if you want to read the Word of God in a way that it is alive and active in you, then let me suggest this. When you read Scripture, asks, what does this passage of Scripture tell me about God? And what does this passage of Scripture tell me about me? What thoughts or attitudes of the heart does it expose? Take note of what it affirms or confirms. If you see something that you need to confess and repent, we'll do so. My question is, will you allow the Word of God to be living and active in you? For that to happen, you need to first of all be reading Scripture. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's made up of 66 books with 40 different authors. It's divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you are not familiar with Scripture, then I would recommend that you not start at the beginning like you would with most books. I would recommend that you go to the index and find the book of John. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. The book of John tells you the story about Jesus. It's a great place to start. As you read it, you'll see what it is saying about God and what it's saying about you. For those of you who are familiar with Scripture, you've probably discovered if you pray back what you've learned, what you see about God in it, you will see God and yourself. I want to urge you today to let the Word of God be alive and active in you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Word. Thank you for teaching us through it and showing us who we are. Lord, I ask that as we come into relationship with you, that we would treat your Word well and properly. Lord, I ask that you would allow it to be a mirror to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thanks again to our anonymous donor who made this morning's program possible. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to spend some time in God's Word with you and to bring you some good news in the morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca. And be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations on which we depend to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals and companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J 2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.